Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is the fourth day of December 2023. Welcome to this broadcast. We've got a very special guest coming on in a minute. He's calling us from prison. We're going to talk to Jake Lang. He's a January 6th political prisoner. We're going to share his story in a little bit. Don't miss that, folks. It's going to be a very important broadcast. And don't forget, this weekend coming up, Lord willing, weather permitting, and it's supposed to be warm this Saturday, we're going to have Bible study, get caught up on a few things that we missed last couple of times. So at 10:30 a.m. this coming Saturday, which will be the 9th, we'll get together for Bible study, and you can join us by going to Rumble. Just go to our homepage. You'll find a great big word says Rumble. Click on that and there will be a 10:30 a.m. Eastern. And people said the quality of Rumble is unbelievable compared to live streams. So please join us if you can. If you can't join us by computer, join us on the phone at 339-209-5013 to join us on the phone. But we truly want you to join us, folks. I really do mean that. I like to think what we're doing is important and a blessing to people. And a prayer question tonight for gentlemen that, well, y'all, if you hear my broadcast, you heard me talk about sugar to fiber. OptiVita is a company that brings those out. Sugar to fiber. Frank Davis, the one that owns the company, just a couple months ago, was given 5 to 6 weeks to live with a very severe leukemia. Spoke to him on the phone Thursday, and he sounded weak. He's already outpaced what the doctor said he would make it on. So Frank Davis needs a prayers, folks. He truly does. Frank was a very athletic individual. Things happen sometimes we don't even get to understand. But remember Frank Davis in your prayers, please. I would like to talk to him a little more myself, if I could, just to encourage him a little bit. But, folks, remember Frank in your prayers. The man is doing his best to keep things running with his company OptiVita, but he's going to believe in this world unless the Lord intervenes in the very near future. So please keep him in your prayers. Now we're waiting for a phone call from a guest tonight. We're going to wait for a phone call from Jake Lang. He'll be calling from prison. He'll be cut off every 15 minutes. So bear with us as he tries to call back in. I hope he can get through. Hope nothing's happening. Can't get through. But we're just waiting to see if he gets in a little bit. I hope he does. But folks, this country is so convoluted and so twisted in so many different ways. There are no longer any true laws to follow that are set in stone, so to speak. As the Ten Commandments were set in stone, those are gone in this country because humanism took over. Laws changed at the whims of men. Humanism is a governance of a God, if you will, but it's not the God of what we are saying. Excuse me, folks. I just got a text real quick from the lady's trying to help me hook up with Jake. 1 second, please. Bear with me, please. Try it again there. Okay, sorry about that. But when laws are based on man's thoughts and not the laws of God, man's reasoning and thoughts change often. And they end up changing everything that thought we had a foundation to believe in. So our nation is twisting now to the point that people like Jake Lang here went up to do nothing but to try to make a point. Was railroaded into prison along with many others. And we see now the absolute insanity that was happening to these people. And Jake, by the way, was the only prisoner that did appeal to the Supreme Court. He was supposed to have a hearing the first. It didn't happen. They postponed it, I think, for another week or so. But when we get on the phone, we bring him up, and let me tell the story. I'm still waiting for him to call in. I just resent the number to the lady helps hook up to him. Hoping to get here pretty quick. But these are things, folks, that our nation has our foundation has been destroyed. And the Bible says the foundation be destroyed, what can a righteous do? If you can't build a society on truth, if truth is no longer relevant, if truth is no longer a foundation that we build our lives on and our nations on, then the foundation truly is nothing but loose sand. It won't stand. The truth being Christ himself and his word. Unless we build that our personal lives and our family lives and our national lives on absolute truths of God's word and govern ourselves morally and civilly by those laws, then we can no longer have any kind of society that will stand together. Now, that's just the way it is. And I'm hoping to get Jake on pretty soon so he can share his story. I don't know what the problem is. He has a number to call in on. I know it's the right one because you call on the same one all the time. So I'm hoping. I just sent the number to Jackie. His lady's got me hooked up here, so we're going to try again. So folks, it's real life from live radio and in the prison. Who knows what could be going on? Todd, is another number maybe he could try? Okay, I think I got him. I think I hear the phone ringing. Hang on a second, folks. I'm sorry about this. But this is live radio. Anything can and will happen normally on live radio. Okay, well, I hope that's Jake calling right now. So if it is, we'll get him up just in a second. Bring him up and let me tell his story of what happened on January 6th from eyewitness news and somebody that's actually there who's now in prison for taking a stand on what he knew was right and believed. So I'm going to bring okay, folks, give us a second here. We're going to bring Jake right in. Let me know when he's here, Todd. We'll bring him right up. I'm going to get him on this program. All right, Jake, are you there?
I'm here, brother. Thank you so much for having me on, man. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Well, you're more than welcome. God bless you for what you're doing. And I sincerely mean that, Jake. And I know you got to come in here 15-minute segments. I realize that. So I went through a little bit about your history. You missed three Thanksgivings now with your family, been in prison now for, over 3 years or thereabouts. And tell us very quickly, just give us a quick synopsis, and we'll move on to some other things here. What happened? How were you arrested? What was the idea? What's going on? Tell us all about this.
Well, Bob, brother, the Lord is spinning quite the tapestry through my life and through the life of all this January 6th political persecution for America. And, you know, we find ourselves back in 2020 at the beginning of my story, at the January 6th rally to protest a stolen election. Me and a million other pretty much 99% Christian American men and women stood up and peacefully protested a stolen election. We were there waving American flags, praying with one another, singing hymns, and just totally just being in the spirit of American excellence and liberty and love of God and love of country. And unfortunately, the powers that be did not like that grand show of love, that grand show of force, and they decided to turn their own weapons against me and about a million other protesters there four people ended up dying, four January 6th unarmed civilians, Roseanne Boylan, Ashley Babbitt, Kevin Greeson, and Benjamin Phillips, four amazingly brave men and women who gave their full lives for this country. And I was caught up in the situation where Roseanne Boylan was murdered, and I had to stand up and take action and try to make it so, tried to save her life and other people's. I was in better equipped. They were in better position for me to be able to help them. But after that, there was a defensive position that me and some of the other men there had to take so that nobody else got murdered by the tyrannical Capitol Police Force. And, well, 3 years later, I'm here for that defensive action I took for our Constitution and for our liberty here in America that day. And it's been three long, hard years, brother.
Well, I've interviewed people, other people that were there, who said that they bust in infiltrators that caused the problems with what was going on. The people there were peaceful. They were singing hymns and praying. They bust in infiltrators to cause this riot. And a lot of them probably, of course, we know were federal provocateurs. Can you give us information on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, so we had recently Congressman Massey has called out the federal government and confirmed that there were over 200 FBI and federal agents inside the crowd planted there for very specific reasons. We're learning a lot of those reasons were to excite the crowd, entrap the crowd, and entice them to, you know, basically into a frenzy. And on top of that, you have a number of Antifa and Black Lives Matter provocateurs that were sprinkled throughout the crowd. The reaction that people had and what happened on January 6th, it can't be understated the impact that those federal agencies had on the crowd. But also there's another side to the story as far as, you know, 1776 patriots, we stand up and we make sure our liberty in this country is defended no matter what. And when a Capitol Police Force, when a police force turns its weapon on unarmed civilians, it takes patriots to stand up and to defend one another and defend our country from the communist coup d'etat that was happening inside the building. So it was a mixture of a lot of patriotic zeal and, you know, 1776 attitude mixed with the perfect amount of feds and provocateurs to get that already, you know, kindling enraged into a fire.
And what, how long were you there before the violence took over?
So, you know, we showed up early on that cold, cold January morning. We listened to Donald Trump give an amazing speech. I arrived there probably like 9 in the morning for that. By the time that speech was over, we waited for like an hour or two before he spoke. By the time the speech was over, I arrived at about 2 p.m., 2:30 in the afternoon. When I arrived, I got to a high vantage point up on the scaffolding. I was videotaping, and I saw some Capitol Police officers take a woman, pick her up over the barrier, over the bike rack, and drag her about 20 yards behind the bike rack, and Rodney King-style beat this woman when she was on the ground, kicking her, striking her, hitting her with batons and stuff. And at that point, my blood ran cold. And I even said to the man next to me, I said, they're beating the heck out of that poor kid. And he said, dude, that's a lady. As soon as I heard it, exactly like that, too. I say it like that because it's poignant in my memory. It sticks out to me sharp. And as soon as he said that it was a woman being beaten on the ground like that, I realized this is no protest anymore. This is a police riot. They have turned their weapons against American civilians, and they are trying to attack this crowd and rile us up. And I had to, you know, I had to take action.
Well, what was the reason they gave for beating this woman?
I mean, she's just one of the hundreds and hundreds of victims that were victims of Capitol Police brutality. They, at some point in this protest, they received word from their handlers, the Capitol Police received word that it was now time to start shooting off tear gas canisters, pepper ball bullets, concussion grenades, flash grenades. Two flash grenades died. Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips died from heart attacks from the rounds, the munitions that were sent off, the flash grenades, concussion grenades, and CS gas and whatnot. And at some point they decided, let's take this static crowd, you know, that's right there abreast up on the
right next to the Capitol, and let's really, you know, rile up these people and incite them. And along with the tear gas and the pepper ball bullets and the pepper spray and the baton attacks came, you know, an entire wave of patriots who said, not here on our soil, not here in America. And we took the bold stand to defend the elderly people. I was an older crowd. I'm a young man. I was 25 on January 6th. I'm 28 now. And there's mostly silver-haired people there that day. And, you know, they were targeting those people. They were targeting the women. They were targeting the elderly. And as a young man, I couldn't just idly sit back and allow these people to be brutalized. And I had to do something. So, you know, that's where my charges stem from. My willingness to defend those around me and defend my country rather than turn and cower and let the evil, you know, be unopposed.
So you were watching them beat up on helpless individuals, obviously, and you decided to take a stand and try to help those folks. What happened then?
Well, you know, not just I did. We've got, you know, one-third of all January 6ers, of all 1,400 January 6ers that have been persecuted by the corrupt Department of Justice and Biden's wicked regime and the FBI Gestapo, one-third of those people have assault charges on police officers. So it was literally hundreds of other people and myself that decided this is not going to fly here in America. We're not going to let, on the steps of our own Capitol building, a peaceful protest, people be murdered without defending them. And so me and, you know, many other men and even some women had to defend ourselves and had to defend those around me. And so I was inside the tunnel of the West Terrace side, the famous tunnel where the president usually exits for inauguration. I entered into that tunnel at about 2:40 p.m. and with hundreds of other Jan 6ers, everybody wanted to go inside the Capitol. We were videotaping. We were there to support the brave members of Congress who were going to reject the stolen election. We were there to protest. It is the people's house at the end of the day. And we asked the Capitol police officers inside that tunnel, men and women, you have sworn an oath to the Constitution. We're here in the name of we the people. It is our will to go inside, to peacefully protest, to be a part of the democratic process, to have our voices heard. Please step aside, put down your weapons, and join us as fellow countrymen. And unlike them doing that in many other parts of the Capitol, we've all seen those very famous photos and videos of Capitol police officers letting people in on other sides of the Capitol, high-fiving them, fist pumps, selfies with them. Even some of them, it looked like they were giving the QAnon shaman a guided tour at one point to Capitol Police. But unlike what happened in other parts of the Capitol, for some reason in this tunnel, they decided to kettle pot us, which is a police tactic maneuver where you entrap individuals. And it creates a very deadly scenario in an enclosed space like that. And what ensued inside that tunnel was nothing less than, I mean, an onslaught by the Capitol Police, who were armed to the teeth against an unarmed crowd, where Roseanne Boylan ended up being murdered in my arms. She was trampled by the Capitol Police, beaten and asphyxiated with their chemical weapons, with, you know, all kinds of pepper spray and tear gas. She died. She ended up dying. I tried to save her. There's video footage of her in my arms. I'm trying to yank her out of the bottom of this dog pile, and I couldn't. And so that situation transpired for about 2.5 to 3 hours inside that tunnel, which I was present for the entire time. And it was a brawl, and it was ugly. And the Capitol Police overstepped their lawful duty by a lot and brutalized us. And, you know, I'm here with multiple assault allegation charges, and I'm here with 40 other Jan 6 patriots in D.C. jail. I'm in the gulag right now, and most of us have allegations of assault, a lot of us from being inside that tunnel where we were trapped and have to fight for our lives.
Well, now, how did y'all defend yourself against arms? I mean, we're talking about handguns, sure, and probably AR-15s. What did you do? How did you defend yourselves?
Well, thank the Lord, the Capitol Police had enough. Basically, I've watched some of the testimony. They basically said if they turned into a gunfight, it would have been I mean, enormous amounts of people dead, because no doubt there were some people with concealed carry inside that crowd there that day. And I'm sure those people, if innocent unarmed people were being fired upon, I'm sure those people would have drawn and defended those American unarmed civilians. So the Capitol Police showed just a tiny bit of restraint by not pulling firearms out on us, but they did have helmets, riot shields, elbow pads, fully padded up, breastplates, knee pads, the whole entire shin guards, everything. They were in full riot gear, beating down upon people using metal steel batons and riot shields and their fists and all kinds of, I mean, and pepper spray and tear gas and even rubber bullets. And so we defended ourselves like the movie 300. I mean, it was a really brutal situation inside that tunnel. I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, my best friend, to ever have to be in hand-to-hand combat with people that you love and respect, police officers, defending your life. And
you have 1 minute remaining.
The life of people around you, and so it was brutal. It was just
hand-to-hand combat with people with the other side being fully protected in protected gear. Y'all didn't have it. The folks, you'll be cut off in about a minute and come back on. So how many people were seriously hurt that you know of in that tunnel that day?
I mean, I'm one of them, but January 6th or so, I'd say in that tunnel there were at least 200 injuries that came out, maybe more. I'd even say maybe even closer to 300 at the very least. Some brutal injuries. I'm talking about people being trampled, all kinds of stuff. I'll be right back. I got to call back.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
We're waiting on you. Folks, I don't know what I can add to this. I mean, I'm asking all the questions I think of, but what is it to really say or to even ask? These people were absolutely defenseless against this, and they've been attacked by brutes wearing uniforms and protective gear. I think they showed remarkable restraint. I would have thought if anybody there would have been carrying concealed, they'd been shooting. So apparently the people that the J6ers are a very peaceful group. I mean, that had to be true, or there'd been bloodshed for sure during this confrontation. So we'll get Jake back on in a minute and let him finish up the story on this. And by the way, we're going to skip the bottom of the hour break tonight because we won't get all this in we can before we run out of time. And this is going to be kind of slow going, you know, a few minutes at a time. We've got a lot more questions to ask him and some more things to talk about that's coming up in the future for this. This is by no means over. It's by no means over. Proof's not coming out exactly what happened. And if there is still any law in this country, there'll be some heads roll from the other side now. We will see what happens in the very near future. This is absolutely uncalled for, unnecessary, and just a way to cow the people back into their corners, to cower in the corner, and be afraid of the same thing the next time something happens. But this was a big one. Do I think the election was stolen? Yeah, I think it was. Can I prove it? No. Can you? But that's beside the point. I think it had been proven. It's starting to be proven. And now people are starting to understand there's more to this so-called J6 riot. It's insurrection, they call it. That's absolutely a lie. There's no insurrection there. And, yeah, I've had other folks on here that were there present who said nothing happened until they brought in the rioters by the busload. So this is something, folks, we need to look into. And nothing else, just remember these men and women in your prayers that they're being locked up for three years for nothing. And Jake gets back, just holler at me, Todd. I'll be right here, you know that. But so we're just trying our best to shed as much proof and light on the situation as we can. And that, folks, that is a Christian's job, and especially a pastor's job, a preacher's job, to bring out the truth on all issues. To expose evil, to rebuke the evil, to stand against evil. And I guarantee you that as far as I know, there are very few pastors in this country that would even take time to speak to Jake Lang because the guy's in prison. He's a felon according to the law of this land or the Trump, I don't say what he's trumped up for, but the false laws of this land that have brought this whole situation together to bring forth this setup to put innocent people in jail to scare the rest of us back into the corner, like I said. And I did warn people before we went up here to be careful. This is going to be a trap. I'm not the wisest man in the world, but I can see this is going to lead to something much bigger than just a demonstration. I can see it coming. And obviously it did. And now we have hundreds of people right now in prison, literally in prison for doing nothing except trying to change a country, put it back on a better track than what it is right now. And I still want Jake to call back in. I know it probably takes a while, folks, through the prison system, so bear with us on this. And we'll try to get a few phone calls in the next half hour. He's using one of the toll-free lines, so it'll be a line or so open. We'll try to get some calls in the next half hour. We're going to skip the break at 27 after, so we can get as much time with Jake as we can. But to know this man's been in jail now for over 3 years and missed three Thanksgivings from his family. And what was his stance? Trying to prove a point that our nation had become corrupt from the bottom to the top and top to bottom. He just took a stand whenever a lot of us stayed home, and I knew, folks, like I said, it was a setup. I knew that. But these men were courageous enough to go ahead and take that chance. And over 1,000 days without a trial. And again, it's been 1,000 days in prison and no trial. What happened to the right of a speedy trial? What happened to the rights of the accused of having be able to bring forth proof? And now we got the videotapes finally released, and we'll have some proof for them. We'll see what happens with those. Well, I'm asking. All right, Jake, you still there then? Can you hear me, Jake?
Hey, Pastor. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm in the basement of Washington. I'm in the basement of Washington D.C. jail gulag in solitary confinement. I'm sorry. You know, we can't do a flowing interview, but I get cut off every 15 minutes and got to dial back.
Well, how long, by the way, you've been in solitary confinement for how long now?
So I've been incarcerated for 1,050 days without a trial. 21 months out of that, 35 months has been in solitary confinement, unfortunately. But also, fortunately, you get a lot of good time with God.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Now, but why solitary confinement? What's your reason to put you in solitary confinement?
Well, you know, this prison environment, especially for a political prisoner, somebody that the DOJ really is targeting, me and all the Jan Sixers, is designed really to try to break you and take away your humanity, rob you of human decency and dignity, and basically turn you to a lapdog so that you just take their plea deal that they're offering you. And so it's a tactic that they've used on me and all the Jan Sixers. First 15 months we were incarcerated, we weren't allowed to have family visitation, no haircuts or shaves. We looked like homeless vagrants. We're not allowed to go outside often. I mean, I've done six-month stretches without getting fresh air or seeing the sun. And on top of that, one of their other cruel and unusual punishment tortures that they do is they lock you inside a cell 23, 22, 20 hours a day, like they have me right now in a solitary confinement unit. And it's just another tactic to try to destroy your mental fortitude. But they forget there is a God who gives grace upon grace and shows love in the darkest of spaces, brother.
And the other prisoners that you, how many do you say were also in jail for J6 besides you? How many others?
So the current numbers right now, there's 1,400 persecuted Americans that have been hunted down like dogs and ripped out of their homes and charged with federal criminal offenses by Joe Biden's Department of Justice and the FBI Gestapo. Out of that 1,400 Americans, currently 230 of us are incarcerated behind bars. And right now there is about 40 Jan 6 patriots with me here in Washington, D.C. jail. The rest of us are in federal prisons all around the country serving out abhorrent prison sentences.
And are the others of those in solitary confinement, or do you know?
Yeah, I mean, right now, in the solitary confinement unit I'm in right now, there's four other Jan Sixers. I've done time in 13 different prisons so far. They've moved me around. When I was in Alexandria jail, right across the Potomac River here from Washington, D.C. and Alexandria, Virginia, they had three or four units full of different, you know, trying to spread us out, full of like two, three January Sixers that were held in solitary confinement pre-trial, such as myself. There are currently January Sixers in federal prison that are being thrown in solitary confinement for calling into prayer calls, Pastor. They're religiously persecuting Jan Sixers because we have such a strong Christian community in this movement. And we hold prayer calls every single night at 9 p.m. on the prisoner's record and on other places. When people call into those prayer calls and vigils from the federal phones in the prisons, they're actually being institutionally charged and removed from general population and put in solitary confinement as a punishment for calling into those prayer vigils and prayer calls. So, I mean, this is not just happening to me. It's happening to other people. It's happening to me because I like to speak out about it, and it's happening to other people for various reasons.
Well, now, have you been able to contact your family and spend time with them?
Yes, it hasn't always been that way. Right now, God's opened up a door. For the first almost 2 years we were incarcerated, they hid behind the mask of COVID. No pun intended. They didn't allow us to have family visitation. That's why they had us in solitary confinement for a very long time, saying that you can't be out with, you know, a bunch of other people. You got to be locked in an 8x10 cell with a steel toilet, a 1-inch thick mattress, and a sliver of a window for 22 hours a day so you don't catch COVID. Well, I mean, what's worse? They're being tortured inside a steel, you know, a little concrete steel box here, or, you know, getting the flu. But we have had, since that, years of fighting from the community, from you guys, the listeners, from the patriots and the Christians out there, writing letters to Congress, calling up D.C. City Council, calling up town boards and councils, and the marshals, and filing complaints and stuff like that. We fought to have our visitation rights and be able to have our family come and see us and phone calls and all that stuff, but they weren't given an inch. We had to fight for everything we've got right now, be able to call, make this phone call my family, see my family. That was another one of their torture techniques. Our own government, guys. I'm not in Bolivia. I'm not in Istanbul. I'm not in the Communist Republic of China. I'm in America, and this is what we're talking about here.
Well, now, I got to ask you this question. How do you spend your time with 16, 18 hours in solitary confinement? What do you do? I got to ask that question.
Well, 16 hours, it would be a blessing. It's mostly 22 hours a day. It's either 23 or 22 or 20. It's gone down. Sometimes they get you for more. Sometimes they get you for less. I did an entire year pretty much on 22 hours a day in my cell. Now I get out a little more by God's grace. And what I do for the day, my schedule is a little different than most of the other Jan Sixers because I'm very involved and active in the community as far as fundraising, running different organizations to benefit the community, doing interviews and managing a lot of things. So I'm on the phone a lot of the day. They give you a little tablet, it's a little touchscreen, little Android tablet, and you have to pay $3.60 per hour to use the tablet. So they extort you while you're making your phone calls and sending emails to your friends and family. You're being extorted the whole time by the government just to talk to your friends, family, my pastor, you know, my lawyer, everybody. And so I'm on the phone a lot. But my normal routine, I wake up, I say my prayers. Right when I wake up, I thank God for another glorious day here to serve him and to be used for his glory and as an instrument for his love and his purposes to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I read the Word of God. It's my nearest friend. It's my balm of Gilead. It keeps me completely covered so that all of the tares don't come, and the worry and the anxiety and the depression and the pain and the loneliness, all of those things are defeated at the name of Jesus. I cover myself up with the armor of God for a good 30 minutes to an hour, sometimes less, sometimes more, wherever the Spirit leads. If I'm very busy, I'll read 3, 4, 5 Psalms, and I'll get back to work. But I do read the Bible every morning. I pray. I get my work done. Usually I run a Bible study, even if it's out of this little tray slot I've got here on my door. So I got a steel door sitting in front of me right now, and there's about a 2-inch by 10-inch little slot in it. Like a dog, they feed you through that slot. Sometimes the slot's open during the day, and I can speak out of the slot to the other Christians in here and do a Bible study through that slot, which is a great grace. I'm grateful to God for this little slot.
And how are the rest of them holding up that you talk to there?
It's varied. It's very varied. I'm a young man. I don't have a wife and kids at home. I got a beautiful fiance. God bless her soul. She's another Jan Sixer. Rachel's here listening in with us. But I don't have a young family at home, and a lot of the men here do. And so a lot of their days are spent worrying over their family because they were the breadwinners. You know, they had a lot of these guys are firefighters, electricians, plumbers, roofers, school bus drivers, teachers. I mean, salt of the earth, hardworking American men, and they've been ripped out of their home, and their wives and young kids are there to fend for themselves, getting booted out of the houses and whatnot. It's a tragedy. And so a lot of the men, they're very worried about their businesses at home, and way more importantly, their families. And so we have to constantly come around those guys in prayer. And the people that are listening tonight, I just want to, tell you guys that your prayers, they work. And just cover my brothers with the angel armies of our Lord, because not everybody has as strong a resolve. Many do. Many do. Many are super patriots, and they're willing to go through anything to see our country free. And some of them have been greatly mentally and spiritually affected by this detainment and illegal torture. And so you get a lot of varied people, a lot of mental breakdowns. Sometimes you got to pray through it and hold them and let them, cry on you. I mean, we're talking about real deal stuff here, guys.
Well, now you have a hearing before the Supreme Court soon, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, brother.
And what's that all about? What's that all about?
Yeah. So this is big time. This is the big leagues. We're not in Kansas anymore. Here we're talking Washington D.C. Supreme Court, 9 justices to decide the fate of 320 Jan Sixers who have been charged with this one particular charge. It's a very serious charge. I want to tell your audience about it. It's called a 1512 obstruction of Congress charge, Butch. And it's a 20-year maximum felony. And they have used this charge as a political bludgeoning tool to not only charge 320 Americans that were protesting and peacefully walking through the Capitol on January 6th, but they've also used it against Donald Trump, the Republican frontrunner for the President of the United States of America, a former president. Amazing man. And this 1512 charge is basically, I got it dropped by my judge, Nichols. He's a Trump appointee. He's pretty sharp. God bless him for that. I'm not going to say anything else about some of the other stuff he's been up to, but, God bless him for that. I stand behind him with that one. But then the government appealed that charge to the appellate court, Federal District Appellate Court. The appellate court overturned my judge's decision to drop the charge. So the only recourse left we had was to appeal this charge up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, we did that about 3 months ago. The Supreme Court is taking great interest in this case. They demanded that the government respond to our filing, which they don't normally do. They set a hearing for December 1st to decide whether or not they're going to take it. Then, unfortunately, Judge O'Connor passed away that day, and so they rescheduled it for this upcoming Friday. So for my prayer warriors and my fast warriors out there, I'm calling a David fast for everybody out there who's listening. One day on, one day off, until this Friday at 5 p.m. If you guys would like to start with me tomorrow, you take day off, fast tomorrow, in order that God would move on our night.
You have 1 minute remaining.
To funnel them like a canal towards righteousness and towards the right decision. We need this charge taken up into the highest court of the land and come down in our favor.
Well, once this hearing takes place on Friday, how long before they make a decision?
So their decision is first whether or not to take the case.
Right, right. Right. I guess he's going again. He'll call back in, folks.
Clear the ear.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Sir. I'll call back in. Thank you, Pastor Butch.
Well, you cut off. What did you say?
I said there? I'm calling back in, my brother. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right here.
Yep.
All right, folks. You're hearing this atrocity, this absolute atrocity of a righteous man, a righteous young man, folks. He's only 20-some years old. He's still a child in many ways. He hasn't had a chance to mature in a lot of ways that we say us older saints have. But he certainly has grown a lot, I'm sure, in the last few months with the faith he's had to have to stand in Christ through all this. And I don't know that I can do this well at all. I don't know that I can handle that. I'm telling the truth here, folks. I never was confronted with it. I think I could, but I don't know that. And neither do you. Neither do you. You know, it's easy to sit here and talk about these things and say, well, it's a sad thing, and how can we help and really mean it? But not to be part of it sometimes, you have a hard time understanding exactly what these guys are putting up with, these men and women are putting up with, going through this hell on earth, simply for standing what they believe in and being shoved and pushed into a situation that will put them where they are right now in prison and charged with charges that are absolutely insane charges. And again, folks, this is not a trivial thing. Either we stand together with this and help these men and women out, or we forget about everything. Because, I mean, let's face it, the election will be stolen again. It's not the first time it's happened. This is the most obvious, in my opinion. So don't be shocked if it comes up again in next year and we see the same thing happen all over again. I mean, this is America today. Like it or not, makes no difference. This is what America is today. It's just a situation that we've let happen over the years gradually through our ignorance mostly, but through apathy also. And the ignorance and the apathy is rooted squarely in what we would call the church today in America. I use that word church very loosely because I know most of these people that we call themselves churches are not truly the Church of Christ. I'm not saying all of them aren't, but not all of them. The true Church of Christ will not compromise when it comes to God's word. And it's people who are put in prison instantly, like just like Paul was. Paul said everybody forsook him for a little while. So this is nothing new that the so-called Christian people have a tendency to shy away from those who are in prison, who took a stand for what's right, and are paying the price for the stand. We have a tendency to shy away because we don't want to be put in the same situation. Now, I know this is true. I've been called before the FBI 3 times, before a federal grand jury once, trying to indict me on some things. And it didn't work out this time by the grace of God, but that don't say it won't happen in the future. This is America today, and this happened to me years ago. Well, this just happened 3 years ago, folks, January 6th, and that hadn't been that long ago when this happened. And the guy could be facing how many more years in prison. And they let him go for months without being able to shave or get a haircut. What's the purpose of that except to demoralize them? To try to destroy their fortitude and standing for what's right. We're talking tonight to a hero. A hero of Christ and a hero of this country. Someone who saw what's happening, took a stand, is willing to pay the price for it. Well, most people just shrug their shoulders and go on and get ready to vote for the next whoever's going to run and going to change it by the vote. That's not going to happen. But this man's paying a price for his stand. When's the last time any of us really paid a price for what we said and stood for? Could it be because we're not really saying anything or standing for anything? Is that possible? How can we, that would call ourselves Christians especially, remain silent in the face of such evil? It's all around us. I have family members who think I'm a radical. Would you believe that? They do. And I think I'm a very mild, sometimes Christian. I should be much stronger and bolder. And I pray that I'll gain strength every day. But even those we would call moderate Christians today are being scoffed at and ridiculed because of the stand for Christ and His Word. This is what we're facing. And this young man is sitting in prison for basically nothing except trying to defend people that were with him and taken into custody for defending his friends and his other fellow, I guess you say, protesters with him, just trying to save their lives, and obviously one of them got killed anyway. This is America now. And I'm waiting for him to call back in because I got a few more questions to ask him. Now, we'll take a phone call, by the way, the last 15 minutes at 844-769-2944. Okay, Jake, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor.
Okay, we got another 15 minutes, so I'm going to open the phone lines up, too, at 844-769-2944. So the videos have been released. The news picker of the house got the videos released. What's going to happen now?
Oh, that's a good one. Pastor, I got to say, this is maybe your easiest interview ever because I don't stop talking.
That's all right. This is your broadcast tonight. I'm just a host. It's your broadcast. So what's going to happen now with the evidence finally coming out? What's going on?
I appreciate that, Pastor. Well, I'm clammed up in here, 20 hours a day, and I get a chance to talk to a brother in Christ and talk to the American people. And, no holds barred, just let him have it. And so what's happening tonight, or what's happening since the Speaker of the House released a very small portion of the January 6th tapes with a promise to release the full 44,000 hours, has been an enormous, I guess, outpouring of support from every corner of American society. A lot of our congressmen and women that were a little more sitting up on the fence with the January 6th issue have now come to boldly champion it. Those who, wanted to kind of keep away from it because January 6th kind of has a cooties, with a lot of the imagery that came out of it and the way that the mainstream media narrative spun it to be an insurrection or violent domestic terrorism was totally not the case, but a lot of people kind of shied away from it. But now we're seeing a complete change. People have seen the videos for themselves. They've seen what I'm telling you, the Capitol Police brutality on one side, and on the other side, the Capitol Police letting people in peacefully, that people were there not to destroy things or to hurt people. When we were not attacked ourselves, we acted perfectly civilized and protested with great class and dignity. But people are realizing this, and now we're starting to see the public shift come from maybe 20-30% of the American public was on our side before, now to a solid 50%, if not a little bit over. And
that's,
I think,
great.
That all of Trump's fan base, all of Trump's supporter base, which is over 50% of Americans, now pretty much everyone that calls themselves MAGA, American First, or Trump supporter, is also in stern support for the January 6ers. So that's the biggest thing. And we're grateful for the support. We need it.
Well, tell me, how are you being treated in there? How do the guards treat you?
That's a good question, Pastor. There's two answers to that, just like there was two different sides to January 6th. I have been abused by prison guards. I have witnessed prison guard abuse on fellow Jan 6ers. I've been pepper sprayed inside my own cell for showing one of my fellow Patriot brothers my Bible and some family photos. I've been punched in the gut for singing the national anthem. I've been left in the hole, which is solitary confinement, where I'm at now, in a damp, dark, lonely cell, half naked for 2 weeks. Had to go to court without shoes and underwear, just in a jumpsuit. I've been there. But I've also, and a lot of those prison guards, they were indifferent. They were tyrannical. And they were unapathetic. I mean, they were apathetic, and it was really hard to see that side of the criminal justice system in America firsthand. I think that we've exposed a lot of the horrific things that happen to prisoners and how human beings are treated behind bars to the American people. And on the flip side of that, I've also had some great Christian brothers that have been prison guards. Those who have come to my little doggy tray slot here in my solitary confinement cell and pulled up a chair and read the Bible with me for a couple hours and prayed with me, laid hands on me, spoke tongues over me, prophesied over me. And so I've seen the goodness and that God can send to you through somebody in a position of authority and power in a prison guard, administer to you and treat you like a human
and go out of their way to help you. And I've also seen the really ugly side. And it's actually really shameful to say that most of the stuff that happened on the really ugly side was our fellow Americans. And most of the good fellowship that I had with prison guards were Nigerians and Ugandans and those
wow.
who did not grow up in America but are here on work visas. And it's, so it's actually really, really, you know, Washington, D.C. prison guard, your average Washington, D.C. Black American man prison guard, which is what most of them are here, they're more of like on the side of the BLM, Antifa, Joe Biden supporters. They think that, you know, they hate Trump and they hate us because of that. And they go out of their way to try to abuse us and make our life miserable. And some of the other prison guards that have come from another country, they respect us for standing up for liberty and being Christians and having prayer circles with 40 men holding hands and remaining resilient through this. They respect us. They think that this is what America looks like. Those are American men right there. And,
amen.
You know,
amen.
And so it's,
all right.
This is straight from a horse's mouth, man. I'm telling you the truth, guys.
Well, let's take one quick phone call here. Let's talk to Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff, come on in. Got about 30 seconds. Come on in.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much, Pastor Paul. Now, I want to ask you a simple question, which is, I'm on your side, and which is, from a scale to total communism, like in Romania under Richard Wurmbrand, with Richard Wurmbrand and Dimitri Duderman, to totally civilized, where do you think our prison system is going? Do you think the prison system will eventually turn into a prison system to where they actually literally beat prisoners to where bones are broken, horrifying tortures? Or do you think that's not going to happen? What do you think?
What do you think, Jake?
Pastor, is that for me or for you?
That's for you.
Now, we're political prisoners at the end of the day, and we're also Christian prisoners, because the reason why we're political prisoners is because we stand for righteous, godly principle that we find in the Bible, and we align ourselves in our voting with conservatives or Republicans because they most, you know, exemplify the Christian mindset and Christian worldview. And so at the end of the day, I'm not just a political prisoner. I believe that they're going after the value system that me and the January Sixers represent, and so really we're being Christian prisoners and Christian persecuted. And as we read in the Bible, and as we know, you know, there will come a time where they kill you in the name of God and think that they're doing a righteous thing.
I can interrupt you. We're in our timer, Jake. I don't need to interrupt you. Go ahead and get. Do you think are they already beating prisoners you know of? Are they mistreating them? Are they mistreating them already?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few horrific beatings, including myself, in the Jan 6 community and other prisoners outside the Jan 6ers. So it's
okay. There you go, Jeff. Hey, come
up. Thank you, Pastor, so much for having me.
Well,
on,
now, we're not quite done yet. Hey, thanks for the call, Jeff. Now, Jake,
okay.
How can we help? What can we do to help?
Oh well, thank you, brother. Now it's Christmas season, guys. Holiday season. All these poor guys that have been ripped out of their homes. They got families at home, and we want to try to do something really nice and support the Jan 6ers in prison and take a little bit of pressure off these women and children that are at home trying to send hundreds of dollars in a month to take care of daddy. So we have a monthly sponsorship program for a Jan 6 prisoner. We've had some amazing success with it already. There's still so much work to do. Guys, go to sponsorj6.com. That's sponsorj6.com. Become a monthly commissary sponsor. Help get some food into the prison and some clothing and sneakers and hygiene products, soap and stuff like that. You got to buy all that stuff while you're in prison. And so if you guys go to sponsorj6.com, you can make a monthly contribution and to help take care of that for one of the 230 Jan 6ers that are behind bars right now.
SponsorJ6.com. Is that right, Jake? You still there, Jake? Did we lose him? Okay, SponsorJ6.com, right? SponsorJ6.com. Okay, I'm going to tell you now that our little fellowship is going to send you a few bucks every month. We're going to try to put a few bucks every month from our little church. It's only a small fellowship, but we're going to try to put some in every month to help you folks out if we can.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a huge blessing. And the gratitude that I feel and all the Gen Sixers in here feel, that you guys would love on us and show us that grace and, you know, be Hebrews 13:2, you know, being bonded and in chains with us here is, I can't put it into words. I thank you guys. I love you guys. And that's very appreciated.
Well, Jake, anything I can do in the future, you get hold of me through Jackie, or whatever you can do, I'll be here for you if we can do anything else to help. But we will go to sponsorj6.com, and we will start supporting y'all best we can. And that's a promise.
Thanks, Pastor Butch. I appreciate that. And I'm sure in the future God's going to bring us, and we'll do another one here. We'll talk about the Lord. And I'll continue to keep you in my prayers and your fellowship and your ministry there. And I appreciate everything that you've done for me and for the Jan Sixers tonight with your platform, brother.
That's no problem, my friend. But if you need me, you can get a hold of me. I will do what I can anytime, brother. God bless you, and stay strong is all I can say. God bless you. And, folks, I will say.
Thank you, brother. Hey, freedom isn't free.
No, it's not. It costs our Savior everything.
It's our duty as Americans.
Amen. It's not a right, it's a duty.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being there, Jake. And folks, you heard it all. And the sponsorj6.com, I'm going to do that. I promise our little church service is going to start sponsoring while we can. We can't do much. We're too small of a group. We only have like 7 or 8 in the whole group. So we're not going to do much. But we're going to do what we can. And if you can help them, if you want to send them something through the call decision, I will see it gets there. I will do that, I promise. If you want to send something, just say, this is for the J6 crowd. Whether it's $5 or $500, we'll see that it gets to them. Let's stand with him. By the grace of God, we can have the victory in this. Jake Lang, obviously, is a very strong young man in Christ. As you can tell, he isn't wavered, very little, if at all. Pray for his fellow prisoners that are in there, as political prisoners, as Christians who stood their ground. Folks, America is decaying as fast as time will take it. You can always smell the rotten flesh in America. Either we stand together, or as the old saying goes, we all sing separately. But if we're going to go down, let's go down standing together. How's that? This nation is probably toast, but I am not going down without swinging. That's all there is to it. In the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.